So I'll write that down inside. Help us with that. I would recommend a calculator for testimony. Considering that we've done stuff like numerical integration, you don't want to come to the test and find out you've got to approximate some integral, the Simpson's rule, and you know the integral involves you know an x cubed, and now you have to do long multiplication. You don't want that. Okay. So last time was day six. That was Simpson's rule. The homework, you have to look at, I think it's section 7.7 to see an example of a similar sequence of steps. But I didn't really work out an example exactly like that problem in class. That one takes a little more independent work on your part. Day seven. And this stuff is, I think, pretty fun. With parametric curves. We're going to talk about stuff that corresponds to section 10.1, so chapter 10 and section 1, and maybe dip into the second section as well. We'll talk more about parametric curves, especially 10.2 stuff tomorrow. So what's the deal with parametric curves? Basically, you have two functions now. Very high level, you could think of it as I have a box, the input is one number, the output is two numbers. Right? And traditionally, we call the input T, but there's nothing magical about the letters. You could use A, B, and C, or whatever. It's just the tradition is the input is T, and you get two outputs, X and Y. It's a function, so if you feed in the same t again, you'll get out the same x and the same y again. And people will give names to the functions. So people might think of this as f, g. They think of f is the first coordinate of the output. So they might write something like this. And G is the second coordinate. So they could represent it on the traditional way with X is horizontal, Y is vertical. But that's one number in, two numbers out. So you can just think of it as two functions. You can put together any two functions and you have a parametric curve as long as the functions have a common domain. They take the same inputs. Now, how can you represent this? So there are lots of ways you could represent this. Parametric curves are just one way. You've already seen one way before. Somebody gives you a graph of two functions. Right? Let's say we have t now as the horizontal axis. We traditionally graph the input variable on the horizontal axis. Okay, so let's graph two functions. How about old favorites, cosine and sine. And then we can have colors, red and blue today. So I'm going to give it some scale. How about 2 pi, 4 pi, 1, -1. Right? You should know these graphs from pre-calculus, right? That was the cosine wave that starts off at 1, goes down here, by the time it gets 2 pi's back before it started and the cycle repeats. Horizontal tangents at the peaks and troughs of this curve. And the sine wave is just a shifted version of it. In fact, it's what you get if you shift this whole thing to the right by pi over 2, a quarter wavelength. One way to represent it. Now, the problem with this representation is it emphasizes the relationship between, if you like, we can call this one x, we can call this one y. So it's emphasizing the relationship in red between x and t, and then in blue it emphasizes the relationship between y and t. It would be nice if we could see the relationship between x and y more directly. Okay. One way to approach this, one way to try and see that relationship better, would be to go with 3D. Right? How about this? X, y, and t. Have three axes, so now you can try and more directly see all the relationships between all three of the variables, x, y, and t.
Is t pointing toward us?
T is pointing up. And x is pointing to the right. Think of y as pointing into the wall. Okay? But I've kind of drawn it a little slanted so we can actually see it. Okay? So what does the graph look like? Well, it looks like a spiral. At t equals 0, you'll have x is 1 and y is 0. It starts there. And then it goes around. In fact, every time it goes around, like this is t equals 0, and it comes up around again, that's t equals 2 pi. Equals 4 pi. Mm. The problem with this is that because you have to draw it in perspective, it's harder to draw and it's harder to directly interpret where something is. I mean, just looking at this, it's hard to say, what exactly are the x, y, and t coordinates of a given point, because I'm taking three-dimensional space and squashing, or projecting it, I'm casting a shadow onto a two-dimensional whiteboard. Right. So
as long as we're actually drawing something, we're going to have to give up some information. So there's always going to be a trade-off. So parametric curves make a different trade-off. Instead of doing perspectives, we just suppress the t coordinate altogether. Maybe you label a few points with t values, and then you draw an arrow to indicate which way t is going. Right. So, for example, this is what happens at t equals 0, 2 pi, 4 pi, and so on. That's also where x and y are if t is at negative 2 pi. So I should really put plus or minuses on those, right? And this is pi over 2 later. Right. And add pi over 2 to all of those numbers. And I'll just indicate time t is increasing as I follow that arrow. And as you probably know, this is supposed to be a circle. We know it's supposed to be a circle because x squared plus y squared, it's baked into the definition of cosine and sine. Often people start with the circle of radius 1 and origin center as the way of defining what cosine and sine mean. In that sense, this should just be review, right? We have our circle of radius 1. If we start here and we go some arc length t, right, then that is supposed to put us exactly at x coordinate and y coordinate, cosine t, sine t, right? Starting from, okay. That's the, okay. So this is our representation of parametric curves. And once you have these curves, you can try to do lots of calculus stuff with them. You can talk about finding the area under a curve. You can have arc length. For this one, it's special. They're a very simple arc length formula, right? But not every parametric curve is so simple to find arc length for. You can talk about where is the curve got a positive slope, where does it have a negative slope, where does it have slope 0, where does it have vertical tangent lines. Where is the curve concave up? Where is it concave down? All those questions you could ask for y equals f of x, you can ask now for parametric curves. But I wanted to start with the conceptual stuff, which I hope is not too much boring review for you. You've seen parametric curves before. One input, two outputs. the underlying thing. All right, so here's a little exercise. Remember, when we actually graph the two functions, we have all the information. You can look at the graph and you can see, okay, you know, the t position is here, the x position is here, the y position is here. Right? You can read everything off. When you do a 3D graph, there's some perspective, so there's some ambiguity. And again, here, I've suppressed information. You can't actually see, you know, what is the t-coordinate here, right? There's no t-axis to compare to. So in this exercise, I'll give you two graphs, like I did with sine and cosine there, and you get to turn them into a parametric graph. This is just going to be two actual graphs, no formulas. So. Take a picture of it as usual. All right. Okay. T axis goes from negative 5 to 5. Output axis goes from negative 4 to 4. First function. That's x. Why? And all of homework 7 is due on day 13 as per the syllabus. You have the first batch of homework due tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. So, of course, I'll take a picture of it so you don't need to try to copy it exactly. If you're inclined to make a sketch, of course you're welcome to. You can compare from the picture I put in the web page later. All right. Let's do a little bit of. This is all very conceptual. Let's look at something inspired by physical reality, okay? Okay, I have a flat ground. Okay, so we're going to think of this as a y equals 0. And then I have a wheel. Wheel is going to roll. And it turns out there is a little speck of green paint on the rim of the wheel. Okay? Okay? And that is what I'm going to be interested in. See if we can model the position of that speck of green paint on the wheel as a parametric curve. Right? All right. We need some information. There's some things missing here. Let's say that what information can we give it? How about wheel radius? Say it's 5. Don't worry about units for now. Okay? Let's just keep it simple. The units would just make the formulas uglier to read. But you know, if you want, think of it as 5 centimeters. That's a little bit smaller than this, but you know, it's right ballpark. And, okay. How about wheel rotation rate? How about 3 revolutions per unit time. So if you like, think of this as 3 revolutions per second. Okay? This is a nice little exercise. Let's see if we can figure this out.
The homework 7 is just the graph, right?
This thing is not homework. We're going to do it now.
Oh, so it's just this one right here.
So far, it's just that one. Okay. I'll give you another homework problem, but it's not on the board yet.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah. I'll write problem 2 on the actual following homework problem, but we're not to that yet. Questions or comments? Choose time 0 to be when the spec is, say, on the right end of the wheel. See if I want to actually make that green. Okay. Now. Okay. And so we have this line here. We've got y equals 0 down here. Our radius was 5. So 5. And why don't we choose x equals 0 to be the center of the wheel? That'll keep things simple. Right. And there's no right answer here, just trying to keep it simple. Right. You could use a different coordinate system and get a different formula, but as long as we stay true to the model, the wheel rolling on flat ground, it's okay to make some arbitrary choices about the coordinate system. Okay. So this is our picture at t equals 0. And we're going to say that right here, this is x equals 0. Just like that line is y equals 0. Okay, so for example, this point at the bottom of the wheel is going to be 0, 0. It's going to be 0, 5. We go to the right. This would be 5, 5. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what's going to happen a little bit later? So my picture has the wheel rolling to the right. Okay, so if the wheel is rolling this way, and we can imagine what happens a little bit later. Let's think about a short time
delta t wave.
Okay. Way before it's gone a full revolution. Just imagine it moving a little bit. That'll probably help us figure out what the pattern should be. Okay, so it's going to have moved a little bit, right? So there's going to be some little change there. And the green speck is going to be a little bit not where it used to be, right? The center of the wheel is also going to have moved, right? The old center of the wheel was here, and the new center is supposed to be there. Center of the wheel has moved and is still a circle of radius 5. So the center of the wheel is still 5 above where the bottom of the wheel touches the ground. But now, right, now the green speck is over there, a little bit later, it's moved. Sense of this. Okay. So, if you measure the angle from here, right, what is that angle? Looks like about 15 or 20 degrees, but maybe 30 degrees. Whatever it is, it goes some angle. Now, notice that. Call that angle delta theta. Okay. Change angle position. Now, remember here with the circle, the standard definition of cosine and sine, you start at the right and you go counterclockwise, right? Some angle in radian measure t, right, and that gives you cosine and sine. But notice that here we're going clockwise. Okay. So the position of our speck in terms of the x and y coordinates, well, you're going to have to take the x coordinate and y coordinate for the center of the wheel. We know the y coordinate of the center is just 5. We'll have to figure out what the x coordinate is. And what you want to add now is, instead of, since the position is going clockwise relative to the center, so counterclockwise, you want the cosine of the negative of that angle, right? And the sine of negative that angle. And what's the other thing missing here? Another difference between this circle and this circle, besides the clockwise, counterclockwise thing. What's the other difference?
The radius.
So it's a circle's 5 times bigger, so there's 5 times as much a difference between the center coordinates and the speck coordinates over there. Okay. Now, Here's a, now, it'd be nice if we could figure out this angle in terms of time. That's not too hard. The rate of angular change, right, is what? 3 revolutions per unit time. So in time, so this ratio should be the same as the ratio of a unit time, so time 1, and 3 revolutions. What's 3 revolutions in radians?
6 pi.
Okay. That's our 3 revolutions. That's our unit time. Okay. So now you understand how the angle relative to that horizontal there changes time. Okay, so we can so that could be plugged into here. And there's still the matter of how does the center of the wheel move? Okay. So to get at that, you need to actually look at arc length. So what is the arc length from here to here?
About 30 degrees.
That's the angle.
T.
So it depends on the radius, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Double the radius, you double the arc length. So it's going to be the radius times that angle, right? That's the definition of the radian measure of angle. It's the ratio of arc length to radius. Arc length will be 5 times the radian measure of that angle. Okay. So the wheel has turned that much. And if it's so as it's turned that much, we must have moved this much along the ground, right? Because as the wheel turns, it's rolling. So it's the same over here. So that's how far we've moved. Okay. So now we know the x coordinates. Okay. So now we can put it all together. So we know that. So we know that a short time later, the picture looks something like this. And so now, in general, you know, at time, any time t, right? Just where all these delta t, let me just write a t now. Right? So it's just going to be x is equal to 5 times that angular change. So this is going to be 6 pi t plus 5 times the cosine of negative 6 pi t, and y is going to be just 5, center of the wheel, plus 5 times the sine of
the x center 5 multiply the delta t.
It has to match how much it has to match this arc length here.
So that ratio is just
the wheel rolls, right? So if this thing has come down to here, right, then that means how can the wheel turn? Think about this. If you rotate the wheel by a certain angle, then the spec has to move 5 times that angle. Okay, but the only way the spec can go that the whole wheel is going. So whatever distance the spec goes, the whole wheel is going. And if the wheel is rolling along the ground, then for every little distance the rim of the wheel turns, then you've moved along the ground that distance. That's the key physical insight. You have to recognize that this distance matches that distance. Right? Another way to approach it would be, imagine you're seeing everything from the point of view of the center of the wheel. Then it would look like the ground is a conveyor belt rolling underneath you, and the speck is turning around you. So if the speck goes this far, how far does the conveyor belt go? It has to go the same distance. Now we get to profit. The big wheel is fixed. The little wheel is So, for example, I don't care about seconds. Let's just say unit time. All right. So this speck, if it's at the top of the wheel, at the top of the little wheel, in 1/4 unit time, it'll be at the top of the little wheel again. See if you can model its position. There's actually a similar example in the book where they have, instead of it on the outside of the wheel, they have the little wheel rolling on the inside of a big wheel. Example in the book I mentioned more where it's on the inside of the big wheel. You should be able to get something like this. And, there's going to be some choices you have to make about your coordinate system and so on. There's no right or wrong answer for those choices, although simpler is usually easier for you. At each point in time t, there's supposed to be a dot at x of t and y of t, right?
Okay. So you can do it like how you're doing it now, like where you're doing stamps, timestamps, or can you do it also where you have a three-dimensional?
Let me erase this board after I take a picture, and I'll try to address this question, okay? We need some pictures. Okay. Let's get really minimalist here. Very bare bones function. It's just going to be a table of numbers. Because I only gave three data points. If you want, you could connect the dots. And then the y graph. 3, 5, 1. If you like, you could connect the dots. This is the parametric curve for these two functions. There's no t-axis. Right? X and Y axis. And let's see. Right? Time t equals 1. X is 4, Y is 3. Time t equals 2. X is 2, Y is 4. Draw a line, I'll draw an arrow to indicate which way time is going. Right? As t increases, we go that way. at time t equals 3, x is 0, y is 1. No t labels are required. It is a good idea to put arrows to indicate at least which way t is increasing. Okay. So if you have this graph, you can read off a bunch of, you could make a table of numbers from the graph, right? That would be one way to solve the problem. Right. Turn this, extract a bunch of numbers from just looking at the graph. Any other questions? Yes.
So then the radio circle is a parametric curve.
Yeah, when I drew a circle on the board, I mean, you know, x equals cosine t, y equals sine t, the circle was a parametric curve that I was drawing it. Yeah.
So you would see the parametric curve as a relationship, right, of the two graphs?
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, the point is there's no axis for the input variable, right? There's no t-axis. That's the distinction between a parametric graph and other kinds of graphs. Right? You've suppressed the input variable.
No, but